Alright, so this week we're going to be discussing, continuing off our discussion from 2 weeks ago, the opinion of the Ramban in the whole, we've been trying to just put everything in perspective, the broader picture of how the end of days, how everything works, what exactly is going to happen in chronology, and what is what according to the different opinions. And last week we went through the basic structure of the opinion of the Rambam, and we left off with several points that need to be understood according to the Rambam. Just as a brief recap, in the Rambam we discussed that, just to put everything in a nutshell, that basically the way the Rambam says it, there's going to be Mashiach. Sometime around the same time, there's going to be Tzias HaMeisim. Tzias HaMeisim might be slightly before, slightly after, but Tzias HaMeisim, everyone who is going to, who deserves it, is going to come back to life. However, according to the Rambam, basically when a person dies, if they are Zocha, they go to Olam Haba immediately after they die. They're in Olam Haba. Tzias HaMeisim, they come out of Olam Haba and come back to their body, and they have another life, and they live a long, healthy life. And then the Rambam writes that at the end of that, after they live for a long time, 100 years to a couple hundred years, whatever it is, that they're going to die again. And Mashiach is going to die, and his son is going to become king after him, and he's going to die, and his son is going to be, and then basically, there's going to be, you come back with Tzias HaMeisim, and then you die, and you go back to Olam Haba. And the Rambam we saw explains that Gan Eden is Pshuto Kimashmo in the Pesukim of the Torah, is a place on earth with, it's a very nice place. It has trees and plants and rivers, and it's a place that's very enjoyable, and at the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us how to make the most of it. He's going to show us where Gan Eden is and show us how to make the most out of it. And that's part of the star of Tzias HaMeisim is going to be this, very physical, this worldly comfort of Gan Eden. And then, after that, the person is going to die again. Now, in as much as in the Rambam's position, it might be more straightforward to understand the way things work, because we would understand that Olam Haba is a spiritual reward, is a spiritual state of existence, and as Chazal say, Olam Haba in bo lo chila ve lo shtia ve lo tashmish hamita, that Olam Haba has no eating and drinking, and nothing physical. So in the Rambam's position, it's easier to understand in a vacuum how Olam Haba makes sense. It's a purely spiritual existence. You die, you leave your body, and you go to Olam Haba. And then Tzias HaMeisim, you come back, you're going to die again and go back to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a non-physical experience. And that might be more straightforward to understand the position of the Rambam. However, the two major questions that we left off with the Rambam, one is just internally in the logic, what's the point of Tzias HaMeisim? The Rambam lists it as one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, one of the principles of faith. What is it doing there if it seems to just be, another stop on the way? Why is it, two-stage question, what's the point of it b'chlal, and what's the point of it at all? And once we figure that out, we have to figure out why is it so central. And the other point was, we pointed out the Gemara and Sanhedrin, which seemed to indicate very strongly that Tzias HaMeisim and Olam Haba were interchangeable terms, that they were very interlinked. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that everyone has a chelek in Olam Haba, but these are the people who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. And the first one it lists is someone who says there's no Tzias HaMeisim. And the Gemara says, why? because he was kofar in it, therefore he won't have a chelek in it. So the Mishnah is saying, who does not have a chelek in Olam Haba? And it's saying, this guy was kofar in Tchias HaMesim, therefore he won't have a chelek in it. It being what the Mishnah said, Olam Haba. So he's kofar in Tchias HaMesim, therefore he doesn't get a chelek in Olam Haba, and that's the Mida Keneged Mida. So it seems very strongly indicated from that Gemara that Tchias HaMesim is Olam Haba. So this morning we're going to go through the approach of the Ramban and see a drastically different approach. At the very end we'll see that the Ramban minimizes him, the Ramban himself speaks out the extent of the difference between himself and the Ramban, and really he says, you know, what everyone agrees with, but we'll just see a very different focus in the Ramban of what exactly the stages of the end of days are and what the significance of the different points are, and a very fundamental difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. So the first page here, I just put here to make sure everybody remembers that we are learning the Rambam and the Yud Gimel Ikrim, but we're going to turn the page. That's just the Rambam text of the 13th Iker. Turn the page. The rest of this morning, we're really going to be zooming through at hyperspeed certain selected portions of hyperspeed. That's right. Shar HaGmul. I have certain underlying sections which we're going to read, and I'm going to try and somewhat fill in the space between and to some kind of extent. And we're going to just try and get a broader picture of the approach of the Ramban. So Shaar HaGmul is made up of several parts. The Ramban discusses how din works. He talks about the din of Rosh Hashanah and the din of Asan Lavo, and he talks about Sfar Ba'onesh, and he talks about Hashgacha. And the very last section, he talks about Gan Eden. And now, in the very beginning, we'll see the fundamental divergence between the Rambam and the Ramban, just in the starting point of what is Gan Eden. The Rambam said Gan Eden is a place on earth, and at the time of Tchias HaMesim, Hashem is going to show us how to make the most out of it, and that's pretty much the extent of Gan Eden, right? In the Ramban, Gan Eden is a very much more central, fundamental significance. And the Ramban writes, Utchila Neman, or Noman, first thing we're going to say.
I think the title's kind of significant too, isn't it?
Hmm?
It says Miyad Acharei Amavet.
Yeah, so we're going to see, right? So the Ramban says, the first thing we have to say is, Sheschar HaMitzvos Kulan V'Gmul HaTov Shalem, that the schar, the reward of all of the mitzvot, the compensation for the good compensation for performance of the mitzvot is davar pashat hu b'divrei raboseinu zal. It is an obvious point in the words of the sages, sha'ikra agago hu chayei ha'olam haba, that the main primary schar, and we saw this in the Rambam himself in the 11th Iker, that the Rambam says that there might be other aspects, other facets of schar, but the schar hagadol, the main point of schar, is Olam Haba. Aval haschar hakodem, but the schar that comes before that, hu ma sheyagia l'olam achrei hamavis miyad, that's what a person gets immediately after he dies, hu gan eden. That is the schar of Gan Eden. Kemosha b'yanu me'gehenim, shu onesh hamagia l'rasha achrei hamavis miyad. Just like we explained that Gehenim is a punishment that a person gets after they die. If a person deserves punishment, they go to Gehenim. So too, after they die, if a person deserves, they go to Gan Eden. So unlike the Rambam, who says that Gan Eden is a place, purely a place here on earth, that is going to be revealed at the end of time. So the Rambam starts off and says that Gan Eden is the place where a person goes after they die, immediately after they die. V'chein timsa b'chol makom yivrein Gan Eden hefech b'migehenem. And the Ramban says, and we find all over in the writings of Chazal, that Gan Eden is contrasted with Gehenim. And says the Ramban, just as Gehenim is a place you go right after you die, so to Gan Eden, which is constantly presented as the contrast to Ganem is right after you die, is the immediate stage after death. Now, just to insert here, that the Rambam himself will not really be bothered by this point, because the Rambam himself, Stam, is very cryptic about exactly what he holds Gehenim is. There were actually those who suggested that the Rambam does not have such a thing as Gehenim. That the Rambam, we saw in the Hakdama Yechelet that the Rambam writes about Gehenim, but the Rambam virtually nowhere else talks about Gehenim, and the Rambam was actually accused of, I don't know if the proper word is accused, some people didn't like say it as an accusation, some people just said it as a statement, some people said it as an accusation, that the Rambam didn't actually believe in Gehenim, that he didn't think there was such a thing as Gehenim. But in as much as we have that the Rambam does discuss Gehenim, just point, I'm just bringing that to show how cryptic and sparse it is in the Rambam, the discussion of what Gehenim is. But the one thing that the Rambam does say is that Gehenim seems to be some kind of final punishment. He says in the Hakdama to Chelek, he says that Gehenim is, he says, we don't really know what it is. Some people say this, some people say that. One of the things he says is that what Gehenim is going to be, that the heat of the sun is going to increase and it's going to burn up the souls of the people who deserve to be punished. That seems like much more of an apocalyptic end of days kind of punishment. So the Rambam himself might say to the Ramban, just as I say that Gan Eden is an end of days kind of thing, I say the same thing about Gehenim. Gehenim is also only at the end. Gehenim is something which at the end of time there's going to be a Gehenim, and the souls of those who deserve are going to be burned up. And the contrast to Gan Eden is very nice. Gan Eden is also only at the end of days. But be that as it may, the point is, for us right now, the Ramban, his starting point is that you have to go through his earlier sections to go through his proofs about Gehenim in their own right, but that would be somewhat of a side journey. So we're going to leave that aside, but the Ramban goes through his own proofs that Gehenim is not only in the end of time, it's an immediate punishment. He says, so too Gan Eden is also an immediate reward, the place that the Neshama goes immediately after death. And the Ramban goes through many different examples where you find in Chazal where Gan Eden is presented as a contrast to Gehenim. He says that Gehenim or Rishayim, the Gan Eden and Tzadikim, you Hashem set up Gehenim for the Rishayim, you set up Gan Eden and Tzadikim, so just as sounds like they're a parallel, right? And many different examples that the Ramban goes through. Turn the page. We're actually skipping a page here. I just went in the copies from page 19 to 21. But the Ramban goes through that the Gan Eden is the place of the souls. The Ramban says, however, that Gan Eden is also the verses in the Torah describe that Gan Eden is a place where Adam Harishon lived, and Adam Harishon lived on Earth. So the Ramban is conceding that Ein Mikram Yotzi Midei Pshuto, that you know we don't remove the verses from their simple intent. We're not going to say that the verses have no simple meaning, and therefore Gan Eden is a place in this world also. So the Ramban says, V'im toma, kevan she'inyin a'adach in this guy. If things are as we have described, umikol makom Gan Eden ba'om hazeh atachtonu, and even so, Gan Eden is a place in this world, maskar ha'neshavol sham. So what are the souls doing there? We're saying that the scar of the neshavos, of the souls, are in Gan Eden, but Gan Eden is a place in this world. So what do they have to do with each other? The hain ain to'altam b'davar gashmi. And so the souls, obviously the neshamos, are not going to have a benefit from a physical state of existence. So he says, kvar peirashnu she'inyan kapo. So we've already explained that there's really a double concept here, that the concept of Gan Eden is really a double concept. V'zeh ha-gan v'ha-edim ha-tachtonim hem tzirim yisodos ha-elyonim. And we're not going to go in exactly through the Rambam. The Rambam discusses something which is a little bit more Kabbalistic. He talks about that there's Gan and, right, the Torah itself says Gan v'Eden, right? That it talks about Gan Eden, but it also talks about Gan v'Eden. And the Rambam talks about that those are two components, two aspects of Gan Eden, is there's Gan and there's Eden. But the Ramban writes that Gan Eden is created in such a way that it is a place in this world which is spiritually aligned with either the Sodos or Yesodos of the Elyonim, somehow tied in to the supernal, to the upper world, somehow tied in such a way that the spiritual world is also experienced or expressed through Gan Eden, and the Neshamos in Gan Eden are able to have, through the physical place of Gan Eden, some kind of spiritual vicarious experience of the Elyonim, of what's of the worlds above. So the Ramban then goes on to discuss this idea that the Neshamos are in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a physical place. He says it's a place in this world. And he discusses, we're not going to go through all of the concepts that he goes through. He talks about the idea that for 12 months after a person passes away, the Neshama is in Gan Eden, and then after that, it leaves and it goes up to somewhere else, and that he talks about what happens during those 12 months and the continued existence of the relationship between the soul and the body in those 12 months, and a lot of different things that the Ramban gets into, which are very important, but we're not going to be able to spend so much time on. But the Ramban then discusses that we have on the one hand, we have the souls, the place after you go after you die, the souls go to Gan Eden, spiritual experience, but that Gan Eden is also a place in this world. And the Ramban then says, the last line over here on the page, Ube emes ki ha-machum hazeh Gan Eden meshamish od, that this place, Gan Eden, is going to be used again, Begmur Gashmi Mamish, as a literal physical reward, Rizman HaTchiyah, at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, at the time of the revival of the dead, the place of Gan Eden is going to serve as a place for a literally physical reward for those people who have come back to life. V'humash Amar Rav Hussein Zal, this is what's referred to in Chazal, also the Kadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Se'uda L'Tzadikim Began Eden. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the future is going to make a Se'uda for the Tzadikim in Gan Eden. He brings more
Leviathan.
So that's what it talks about there also, right? He brings more Mamai Chazal, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to set up a Mechol, a circle dance of the Tzadikim in Gan Eden, and he's going to be sitting in the middle, and the Ramban goes through the point that Gan Eden is going to be the place that in a very real physical way serves as the star of Tchiyas HaMesim. Now we're going to have to get back to that point. That point is going to be very significant in understanding the bigger picture of the Ramban. In the Rambam, Tchiyas HaMesim Gan Eden also serves as a place of physical reward, but it serves as a place of physical reward during this period we have yet to understand, this temporary state of Tchiyas HaMesim, where you come back and live your regular physical life. So you have Gan Eden, where you got a regular physical comfort in that state of existence. And the Ramban is described that Gan Eden has this double state, where on the one hand it's a place where the souls are able to get a spiritual access to a spiritual reward through that physical place, and at the same time it's a physical place on earth, and it's going to be the physical reward at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. When we get to what Tchiyas HaMesim is, rather to get back to that point, is going to be very significant. The Ramban in the next section goes on to describe Olam Haba. And the Ramban here diverges in a very major way from the Rambam. The Rambam, we said, says that Olam Haba is the place you go after you die. After you die, your soul goes to Olam Haba, and that Olam Haba is the Olam Haba. That's it. And the Rambam goes out of way to say, we don't call Olam Haba the world to come because it's not here yet. It's not like Olam Haba is a place that's going to exist in the future. It doesn't exist yet. It's only called Olam Haba because it's after you die. First, you're everywhere. The Rambam, right? The Rambam says that Olam Haba is not called Olam Haba because it's going to exist in the future. It exists now. After you die, you go to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not some new thing that's going to come about in the future. It's only called Olam Haba because every person lives in this world first, and then that world, and therefore it's called Olam Haba. But the Rambam says that Olam Haba is not someplace reserved for the future. It's where you go after you die right now, you go to Olam Haba. The Ramban says not that way. The Ramban directly disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ramban writes, Ikar Haskar, Olam Haba, we're in this section B's here. Olam Haba ininu Olam Neshamos. Olam Haba is not the world of Neshamos. Says the Ramban, V'zeh Olam Haba, Shehu Sov Makan Skar Skan Shalom. So is this place Olam Haba, which he's already discussed, is the Ikar Skar. Is that there might be other stages of Skar. That this place Olam Haba, it's not entirely clear in the Mishnah. The Mishnah being the Mishnah that we discussed a few minutes ago. The Mishnah at the beginning of Parak Chelek, which says Kol Yisrael Yeshvam Chelek LeOlam Haba. Everyone has a Chelek and Olam Haba. Because it's not clear in this Mishnah what it is. V'lo Nisbar B'Pirish Im LeOlam HaNeshamos. The scar on a magil of Kol Achas Mehen Ba'atma. The Atman Achri Amavis Miyad Kamoshis Karnu. Is it that place where the world of the souls, that the souls go to when they get some reward waiting for them immediately after they die, as we mentioned? Or maybe it is another world which will be innovated, which will be created anew. And the reward there will be with both the body and the soul. Ola nefesh bilvad, or perhaps there will be a new world with the reward for just the soul. Bismana ruam miskalish, in that new stage of time. And now the Ramban makes the point that we started out with as a question on the Rambam. The Ramban makes this point in support of what he's about to say, that the Gemara says, Kol kach lama, why is someone who denies Tchias HaMesim not out of Chelek in Olam Haba? Tana, who kachar b'Tchias HaMesim? He denied Tchias HaMesim, l'fikach lo yeh lo chelek b'Tchias HaMesim. Therefore, he will not have a chelek in Tchias HaMesim. L'fisha kol midos Hashem Kadosh Baruch midah k'neged midah. Because everything Hashem does is midah k'neged midah. V'zeh mora, this indicates, ki ha'olam haba hu olam haskar l'osan shekadosh baruch mechaya b'Tchias HaMesim. Olam Haba is the sky that people get when they are revived for Tchias HaMesim. The Eino Al Olam Neshama Shekarina Oso Gan Eden. And Olam Haba is not that world, that world which we call Gan Eden, the world which is just the soul. Our Olam HaTchiyahu, Olam Haba is the place of Tchias HaMesim. That's the implication in the Gemara, is those who are not... Why do you not get Olam Haba if you denied Tchias HaMesim? Because since you denied Tchias HaMesim, you don't get a part in Tchias HaMesim. The clear indication is getting part in Tchias HaMesim is synonymous with getting a part in Olam Haba. So says the Ramban that the schar of Tchias HaMesim is Olam Haba. And the Ramban is going to go on and explain this idea. The Ramban, we're skipping over, the Ramban brings several more proofs to this idea. It brings indication from Chazal that of the Tchias HaMesim being at the end and different places where Chazal link Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, that the two are very conceptually interchangeable. Sorry? What? Maybe. Is there any... Alright. Listening to a recording once of Revoinder, and he asked somebody to get him a certain safer, and while the person was out of the room to get the safer, he didn't want to go on, because the person, you know, went to go do him a favor and get him the safer, so he didn't, you know, they shouldn't miss part of the shear because they went to get the safer. Thank you very much. Okay. So, so the Ramban goes on, and the Ramban now discusses this idea that, or he goes on to substantiate this idea of what Olam Haba is. In the next section, talks about the idea that Olam Haba is the Olam of Tias of Mason. And the Ramban, we're going to see this one little snippet here. He's quoting Gemara and Sanhedrin Sadi Aleph. There's Amru, Rav Chisda Rami. Rav Chisda posed a contradiction between two psukim. Ksiv, v'chafra ha'lavana, u'bosha ha'ma. The lavana dug itself in, and the sun was embarrassed. Ksiv, v'haya or ha'lavana ka'or ha'ma. And the other pasuk says that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. Lo kasha, kan ba'olam hazeh, kan ba'olam haba. Now, kasha, one is talking about in olam hazeh, one is talking about in olam haba, and he goes on to sorry.
You say that in Kiddush Levana.
Right, yeah. That's what we're
davening for.
What?
We're davening.
Right, that's the introductory line there, right? Asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achzira L'Yoshna, or I don't know exactly what it was, right? In the future, God is going to return the moon, right? He reduced the moon, he's going to return it to its zenith, right? So then it brings this verse, right, about what's going to be in the future. Right, that's consistent with this Gemara. So the Gemara asks on this resolution of the contradiction in the verses, asks Akasha on the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel says famously, it's a big question whether or not the Rambam in one place seems to paskin this opinion of Shmuel, in another place seems not to. But Shmuel says famously, "Ein bein olam hazeh l'mozeh Mashiach el shir brud malchus levad." The only difference between this world and the days of Mashiach is going to be Shiabud Malchus, is going to be our subjugation to the nations. But Om Kiminago Noe, there's not going to be any drastic changes to the laws of nature. So according to Shmuel, how does, you know, this says that in the future the sun and the moon are going to be different than they are now. So it says Edi Olam Haba Lo Kasha Kanu Machane Tzadikim Kanu Machane Shechina. Says they're both talking about an Olam Haba, and one's talking about for the Tzadikim, and one's talking about in Machane Shechina. Okay, not going to get into the Gemara's answer, but what we really want to see is the implication of the Gemara here. Says the Ramban, Ubevadai Heimzal Lo Yifarshu Or Halavana Or Hama Bolam Neshamos. When this Gemara talked about Olam Haba, and it talked about the sun and the moon getting brighter, right? And it talks about the sun and the moon getting brighter. Certainly that's not talking about the Olam HaNeshamos. Certainly that's not talking about a non-physical, the sun and the moon returning to their original brightness. Is not talking, and the Gemara seems to take it as a very real physical thing, right? The person might have said, yeah, it's not a problem with any, you know, implications about what, that's a symbolic, spiritual, whatever concept it represents. The Gemara asks Akasha on Shmuel, who says that the world's not going to change. the world's gonna, there won't be any changes to the natural state of the world. It says, look, the Pesukim say that Oravanakorachama, right? So, the Gemara is taking it as a very real physical change in the world and saying that's an Olam Haba. So if in Olam Haba we're talking about a very real physical change of the state of existence, so it sounds like Olam Haba is a very real physical state of existence. Everyone follow it? And the Gemara is taking this pasuk to be talking about Olam Haba. And it's saying that it's going to be a change in the way the world is in Olam Haba, in such a way that that's a problem for Shmuel, who says there won't be any drastic changes in the nature of the physical world. So you see from this Gemara that Olam Haba is a place which is, has physical properties, right? Otherwise you couldn't ask a kasha on Shmuel about that things are going to be different in Olam Haba. That has nothing to do with the natural state of the world. Olam Haba is the world of the Shabbos. It's purely spiritual. Whatever this Gemara is describing, whatever these psukim are describing, is, you know, some spiritual idea that the Jewish people are going to return to being a perfect channel of, you know, the light of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the moon being this as bright as the sun. They're going to reflect all of the light. And but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, asks it as a kasha on Shmuel. There's going to be changes to the physical world. You see that Olam Haba is going to be some kind of physical state of existence, says the Ramban. So you see, substantiated his position here, that Olam Haba is a real physical place. So we're skipping a few pages here, and now we're going to get to the crux of the point here, which is the Ramban says that now that I'm telling you that Olam Haba is the place you come after your soul comes back to your body, so now we seemingly run into the issue which the Rambam would kind of start from. The Rambam would tell you, Olam Haba, it's, you know, Menim Miziv Ashkina, you're getting a spiritual reward. What business does a body have to do with anything there? So that seems to be a pretty strong point. Why should Olam Haba be the place of Tiyas Amesim, of the body and the soul? What business does a body have in that place? And the Rambam, and the Ramban really asks this question here. And the Ramban says, if you'll ask, that now that we're the goof, it's a physical entity. It's a body. It's you, the physical senses, and the goof, that goof, the klal, sorech mitziyuso hayabavor tachlas achas. The purpose of the body, it serves one purpose. V'hu achilas amazon l'kila goof u'lahu l'dinyano. It's it eats, it drinks, it reproduces. That's the purpose of the body, is to perform these physical tasks. U'kesha tistar et tachlas hahi olam haba. When that tachlas, the tachlas of physical sustenance and physical existence, ends in olam haba, she'ein bo lo achilas v'lo shtia, which we've said, Chazal said, there's no eating and drinking in olam haba. Lama yaguf po'ol rik. Why is the guf going to remain this kind of useless leftover that's hanging around olam haba? Ve'ein reisa elokim po'ol batal. The God doesn't do anything. God doesn't make anything which is for no reason at all. So the Ramban says an answer which is somewhat cryptic, but we'll see if we can put it together based on everything else he says here. Hine hachuva l'kolze. The answer is ki haisa bria azos lizman tiyas amesim v'tzorach hashimushim haniskarim. That the purpose of the body in this time period will be for those purposes that we mentioned, for those uses that we mentioned, eating and drinking. Ve'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotza bevitulacha acharetein. And God does not want the body to be done away with afterwards. The Ramban doesn't really explain more than that. He says, and now he moves on. He says, Va'od yesh betzura zo sodos amukim. Says the Ramban that the body itself has in its form sodos amukim, deep secrets in the form of the body. Ki lo haisa yitzira shalzad must have to below time. He says, God didn't make the body in exactly the way that he made it for no reason. Now, in modern anatomy, they've shown a lot of things about the human body which are very non-optimal from an engineering perspective of if you wanted to make the ideal body, how you would have made it. You know, the standing upright on 2 feet with a straight back and a spine is really a much more stress-inducing structure than could have been made otherwise. And there are all kinds of things about, you know, the body is made, it's somewhat, what? The human body is made in a way which, from a purely physical standpoint, some of the things are very, you know, non-optimal. So, somewhat of a kasha. I'm not an expert in these things, but I'll just say it anyway, somewhat of a kasha on evolution, because if we were supposed to have evolved from the animals, and the animals have a body which is more more optimal state in these ways, so why did we evolve to a less advantageous state of existence? Okay, we're not getting into that, but basically the point being that the body is not created in the optimal physical way. God created the body the way he did for very precise reasons in the way in which it models certain sodosamukim. It's the body has, and it wasn't just arbitrary that God just decided to throw together the physical form the way it is. God made the physical body the very exact way it is. And there is significance to the body. When we say, the Ramban doesn't make this connection, but we say that, you know, there are 365 sinews and 248 bones corresponding to the 365 right, the physical body is structured in a way in which it matches the spiritual structure of the world, which is expressed in the mitzvot. The body is not just a mass of physicality to get us through the world until it decays. There's some spiritual significance to the model that the body is. And the Ramban says, and therefore God did not create the body as something which is just, you know, arbitrary. The body has itself has significance to it.
I think you didn't underline the last line.
Hmm?
The last line seems pretty interesting.
Rat l'tzorev gadol u'atam nechbad v'ha'oso yisvar rotza v'kiyumo.
Hashem wants us, is that what he's saying? Hashem wants the body to be
chosen. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the body for a purpose, and he wants it to continue to exist. God has a reason for the existence of the body, and therefore wants it to continue to exist. V'imtik sh'aleinu kiyam aguf min ha'shvelim l'olam, that the body is, by definition, it's, you know, a lowly physical existence, says the Ramban, not so fast. Kvar heshi v'unu elecha, or answer to you, ki kiyam aguf yeh v'kiyam ha'nefesh, v'kiyam ha'nefesh v'his yachva v'das elyon, v'amiskayim yeh kimikayim. I'm going to go exactly into what he means here, but the Ramban basically says that the soul is held up by Das Elyon, by God, and the body will be at that time maintained by the soul, and there will be an influence, some kind of bringing together of that which is maintaining its existence to that which is being maintained. The body and the soul will somehow be brought closer together. And it says there in Ban, you read the simple verses about Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was really fit to survive eternally in his body, had he not sinned, which is another challenge that we'll have to try and get back to in the Rambam. According to the Rambam, Adam HaRishon, had he never sinned, was going to live forever. That's a terrible thing. Right? Because you don't want to live forever in a physical body. The whole point of existence is to get out of your physical body and get to Olam Haba. So why would Adam HaRishon's reward for not having sinned have been that he was going to live forever in his physical body? Says the Ramban that everyone can see, if you're sensitive to it, the koach hanefesh alaguf, the influence of the soul over the body, when a person is attached to God. Ke'inyin, like we have the idea of Kirin Pnei Moshe Rabbeinu Arav Shalom, Kipnei Achama, like the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's face shone like the light of the sun, says the Ramban. We have this idea that the spiritual light of a person can be expressed within his physical body. We have an idea that the body can become a vessel which expresses and channels and shows that spiritual existence. And the Ramban is saying here is the body has the capability to be elevated to something which can be an expression of a higher existence. The body is not, by definition, stuck in a state of material lowliness. The body, we see it, even in this world, can be elevated, can be influenced to become something which is holier, which is an expression of some kind of spiritual reality, some kind of spiritual existence. You know that said about different certain tzaddikim that you could see the light on their face, right? So that Adam Arishon, the Medrash says that after he died, Adam Arishon, that the one of the Tananim found the body of Adam Arishon, going through the whole story, but says that the light that shone from his heel was as bright or brighter than the light of the sun. This is the deadest part of your body, is the skin on the bottom of your heel. And this was Adam Arishon after he sinned, right? Was still such a, he's created by God himself. He was such a lofty spiritual, his physical body was such a lofty physical, spiritual, in such a high level, that there's a light that shone from the most dead part of his body, right? It says that the snake bites your heel. And it says that from there, that's where death begins. And that, well, this is the Lashon of Chazal. But that the snake bites the heel because that's the part that's the closest to dead already. That's the part of Adam Rishon's body which was shining. The physical body has the potential, has the ability to be transformed into something spiritual. That the faces of the righteous in Olam HaOl, in the world to come, in the future, will be like the sun, that the faces of the tzaddikim will shine this tremendous light. We will have to accelerate a little bit here if we want to get to where we wanted to get to. So we're going to just skip to the underlying parts now to finish. So now the Ramban quotes the Rambam. The Rambam from in a tshuva, he said, Od kazav zav b'tshuvas she'ela, umashe eskimu chachme yavan v'chachme amara v'nefesh, shanefesh tzura b'lo golem v'lo guf, ala tahor gzeir nazir umakum umakar adas, that which the Greek philosophers and the Western philosophers said that the soul is a form without it's a tzura without any body, without any physical vessel, and it's pure and it is the source of das, the ain't a tzurich l'guf, but has no need for the body. Rafika kisha yoga l'guf lo te'aved hi. Therefore, when the body is destroyed, the soul will not be. Al omes ba'atma v'kayemes kemo ha'malach v'nenes v'choza v'oro shalom. It's going to remain like an angel and get a pleasure from the light of the world, Olam Haba, and that's Olam Haba, right? And that's what the Rambam writes, and the Rambam, he's quoting the Chachma Yavan, that the Rambam is agreeing to their opinion. And writes the Ramban, Ava Mikol Makom, Shina Leinu Sidre Kabbalah, says the Ramban, that the Rambam has switched things around, he's mixed things up, the order of things. Ki Asa Zeh Olam Olam Neshamos, Ve'ein L'Guf Bo Chelek, because he made this world, the Olam Haba, into Olam HaNeshamos, the world of souls, which is where you go after you die. That's what, the place where you have no body. That's what the Rambam says Olam Haba is. V'chein nir midvav shumashana alinu zmano shal Olam Haba. And he's also switched around upon us when Olam Haba is. V'chula daito bal adam achrei misasa miyad. A person immediately after he dies goes to Olam Haba. V'chula oneg v'anoam shekarino so anachnu gan eden. What the Rambam is describing as Olam Haba, that's what we call Gan Eden. It's the place that you go after you die. It's a temporary place. That's not the final place. We're skipping to the bottom of the next column. Aval Yira Mikavanas Aravzal, Sha'olam Haba Etzlo Mishamish Lekol Olame Hanefashal Lekol Magyalim La'ade Ad, said that the world that a person goes to, the world of souls, serves as the place where a person goes for eternity. And the Rambam believes, he of course believes in Tchias HaMeisim, but he believes that the idea of Tchias HaMeisim is HaKavana Bo Shetashav HaNefesh L'Guf B'Ratzon HaBor Yispar, that the body, the soul will be returned to the body by God's will. The Yetzer Neshavos Min Olam Haba, and the souls will leave Olam Haba. The Yeshua L'Guf be made Tchias HaMeisim and return to the body for Tchias HaMeisim. The Yisadinu Anashim Ahim Azochim Matolas Olam Hazeb Yemos Mashiach, and the people who merit it will then merit to be around and enjoy the goodness of this world in Mos Mashiach. The Yizku Min Bo Lamal El Yonah Yimalasam Yishonah will be able to achieve a higher level than they were able to achieve in their living in this world. Right, the way he really describes it at more length elsewhere, that there will be no distractions in that world. You'll be able to grasp more spirituality in a physical world devoid of all of the interruptions and all of the difficulties. But afterwards, the Rambam says that Mashiach and his generation are going to die. The yun after saying the Tov Olam Haba, and then they'll go back to Olam Haba. They'll go up without their body, where they were originally, where they just came from. The Ma'al Gedolah Mimeno, at a higher level, Shezach Rabba Mitzvah Sha'asu Bizman HaTchiyah, because they'll be Zocha, will merit to a higher level through the mitzvos that they do at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And that's what's going to keep where they're going to stay forever. Says the Ramban that the Ramban for two reasons is going on about this business about Olam Haba not being enough. He goes on at a great length because ki hu yodesh anche kabal sini aminush inachetia misa. He knows that our Masorah is that the accepted tradition is that after Tchias HaMeisim you don't die again. According to what Chazal Darshan by the pasuk says, "Rubala Hamavas Lenetzah." But Amru Meisim Shasim Kadosh Baruch Hu Achios Shulain and Chozim Lafam. The dead that God is going to revive are not going to die again. And according to this approach, those who are coming back in Olam Haba, at the time of Tchiyah, they're going to live forever. So says the Ramban. The Rambam went to great length to try and disprove, to try and argue this point that Olam Haba is only purely spiritual, because he knows that he's going up against the grain. Because the accepted Masorah, the accepted Kabbalah, which the Ramban is saying is clearly indicated in the Chazal, is that at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's the final state of existence. So just to put everything together, at the very last paragraph, the Ramban goes through that everyone agrees that there is Tchiyas HaMeisim, and that the general concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim, and even the Rambam agrees that Tchiyas HaMeisim might have an end, but of course there's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba is the final stage. But just to put things into perspective here, according to the Ramban, Gan Eden is very appropriately both the world of Neshamos and the world of the physical sphar of Gan Eden, because the period of Gan Eden of Olam Haba is a place where the body and the soul are there together, and it's a sphar which matches to both of them. Both the body and the soul are there, and they're an important role. The body is not just a nachshlepper. The body is not just an unnecessary leftover in the time of Olam Haba. God wants the body to be present in Olam Haba, and it serves a significant role there and a significant purpose, and therefore Gan Eden is very appropriately a place of both the spiritual and the physical reward, because there's going to be a reward, an Olam Haba ultimate reward for both the neshama and the guf. And that we're going to try and discuss next week. Before we get back to the Rambam, we're going to discuss, according to the Ramban, what is the point? So we've proven that it is that way. What's the point of it? Why should there be a physical reward as part of Olam Haba? What's the significance? What's the message? What's the concept of a physical reward in Olam Haba? Why should the guf be there? And why should that be, as the Ramban agrees with the Rambam? It is an ikra of Amunah. The Ramban, we saw, says then of course it's an Iker of Emunah. According to the Ramban, where does Trias and Asim get its place as an Iker of Emunah? We'll try and discuss that next week, the opinion of the Ramban, and then we'll try and get back to discuss our an approach in the Ramban.